seated. And David, that admonition to stand certainly is a biblical one, because we know that in that book of Ephesians, chapter 6, after we have adorned the doctrine and that great armor of God, the Bible says, having done all, to stand. And that's what we have done tonight. And the Bible says that we are to stand fast in the faith, having done all, to stand. I think we sing better when we stand. Amen? Yeah, there we are. Yeah. I thought that'd be weak, but I'm glad it was strong. Now, I think we do sound better. You know, you're singing out, you've got support, and I'll get off that. But anyway, it's just a great thing, and we appreciate so much the presence of all of you tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. I don't know how long it's been since you heard a sermon on Zacchaeus. It's been a while since I've actually spoke on this particular subject. Many of you may remember from Vacation Bible School a little song that said Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Can y'all repeat that with me? A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed by that way, he looked up in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. It's more than just a song, and it's more than just a rhyme, but it is a story that unfolds for us in the book of Luke, chapter 19. Factually speaking, it is the only place in all of the Holy Scripture where this man's name is mentioned. Many of the great events in the life of our Lord occur in what we call the Synoptic Gospels, that is, Matthew, Mark, Luke. But many of them do not occur totally in every account of that biographical information that is given to us by Jesus our Lord. But I can tell you one thing for sure, that Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus that he never, ever forgot. You know, the Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 19, and especially verses 1 through 10, unfolds for us this story about this young person, this younger man, and he was very short. He was so short that he had to climb up in that sycamore tree to actually get a view of Jesus the Christ. I guess you could say, in reality, he had to rise above the crowd. You know, that in and of itself is a great lesson for all of us tonight, isn't it? That you and I have to rise above the crowd. Let me read this narrative for you, and if you brought your Bible, you may want to read along. And the book of Luke 19, 1 through 10 says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he could not do so for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and he climbed up in that sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide at your house today. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that is the multitude, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. That almost sounds like CNN news, doesn't it? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. There are so many things that we learn about Zacchaeus. He was an individual who experienced a divine confrontation with our Lord. But he experienced also a divine call. Not only the confrontation, but the call from God. And then he experienced a divine conversion from God. You know, when you think about this man's life, there are so many things that are so important in this story, and I want to share some of them with you. The lesson in and of itself is that we ought to be willing to rise above the crowd to see our Lord. You know, we live in a world today, and the crowd does not honor God. The crowd does not want to honor God, and the crowd isn't going to honor God. But number one, Zacchaeus could not see because of the crowd. The crowd got in the way. Sometimes in today's world, the crowd gets in the way of us seeing Jesus. Now, let me explain to you about that. How many times have you seen people who want to do what everybody else is doing? They want to follow the crowd, and that is a mentality that a lot of folks have. Now, Zacchaeus was short in stature. He had probably heard all the jokes about being short, you know. Maybe they called him shorty, I don't know. Maybe there were a lot of things they had to say about this man. Maybe they were jealous of him, I don't know. Because he was rich, he was a very wealthy man, had a lot of money, and he was chief among the publicans. And so he had a lot of honors and a lot of accolades from the crowd. But in order to see Jesus, this man had to get up above the crowd. He did. And I'm going to tell you something. It is like all of us. We must rise above the crowd and get above that mentality that I want to be like everybody else. Can't do that and honor God. In the book of Exodus 23 and verse 2, Moses in the Old Testament, one of the great leaders of God's people, made this statement to ancient Israel. He said, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Now, I think inherent in that one statement is the fact that the multitudes are the people that generally do evil. Didn't Christ say something about that in Matthew 7 and verse 13 when he said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is that way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many," Jesus could say, "multitudes are going headlong into hell because they're traveling that wide road through the broad gate." Don't follow a multitude to do evil. And then in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, Paul, when conferring with the church over in Corinth, made this observation also in this first epistle or second epistle. He says, "Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord." Now, you know, that's an admonition for us today too, isn't it? Don't be like the world. Don't live like the world. Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 12 that when we become Christians, we have to be transformed out of the world. He says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, one that is holy." We have to rise above the crowd every day of our life. Rise above the crowd. Don't blend in. You know what happens with many of us that are Christians today? We have a tendency to kind of want to blend in. We don't want to stand out. We don't. And many people do not take a stand, as we were saying a moment ago. We have a tendency to want to just kind of blend in and not really call attention to ourselves as God's people. And we follow that multitude to do evil. When we think about rising above the crowd, we have to know what is right spiritually. Now, we got a lot of religious folks in the world today. We do. And a lot of people want to follow preachers. They want to follow, and I'm going to tell you something I've told you all the years that I've been here. Don't follow me, but follow Christ. Paul said one time, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And so what we have to do is to follow what the Holy Scriptures say, not man. Sometimes people are more turned on to preachers instead of the truth, the one who gave the message, and that is God. And I've told you many, many times, listen, follow the Word of God, and you'll know what is right, spiritually speaking. But we have a lot of people, and there are a lot of charmers in our world today, who stand in pulpits and they're on television, and they appeal to the hearts of the people in a lot of different ways by their great oratory and perhaps by a lot of different things. And so people are more turned on to the messenger than they are the message. You and I need to be focused on the message so we know what is right, and we're not just following people for the sake of following people. For in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Don't follow the crowd. It would be easy to follow the crowd. That's why more people are going down the broad way and through the wide gate, is that it is easier to follow the crowd. And let me tell you something. Do you know that it is a proven fact that there are more followers today than there are leaders? You and I must lead the way. We must. It is incumbent upon us to lead the way. When we think about rising above the crowd, I think about Paul the Apostle when he went to Athens, Greece, recorded in Acts chapter 17. And Paul said to those people that had gathered there, and it was a very stoic city, and they had monumental gods and had erected gods of stone and wood and many, many of them in Athens, and people actually worshiped those and the Creator who is blessed forever. Romans chapter 1, as we were looking at this morning. And so Paul says, "In all of these things, I perceive that you are too religious." Now, if you're reading in the King James Version, Romans, or in the book of Acts chapter 17, you'll find that word superstitious. But actually, it is more adequately described as the word religious. You are too overcome with religion. There is a difference between religion and Christianity. Sometimes, we got a lot of religious folks in the world today. We do. But there's a tremendous difference between being religious and being righteous. There is. But there's a lot of peer pressure in the world. We talk about our young people here, and it's good to see them sitting up front here tonight. We talk about peer pressure a lot. We all have peer pressure, don't we? Sure we do. And when you read the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13, you recognize that to be true. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, and neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in." In other words, there were a lot of people perhaps that would have followed God, but the Pharisees were shutting out those people and telling them, "Don't follow Christ, don't follow God." They didn't follow God, but they were encouraging other people not to follow Him. And so when they did that, there are other people says, "Well, we don't want to buck the majority." We live in an age today where we think the majority is always right. But isn't that in reality counter to what God has to say? He is saying to us to rise above the crowd. But there's something else I want to share with you tonight about this little man that we call Zacchaeus. And I'm going to tell you why this is so important, why I'm preaching on this tonight. Is, you know, there's so many stories in the Bible, and this is one of those that becomes almost obscure. We don't really talk about it. It's only mentioned one time in the Bible, and we think sometimes, well, I'll preach on something else, or I'll deal with another issue. Zacchaeus knew he could not see. He was honest with himself. He was short, couldn't help it. You know, this a while ago, I asked Laura Lee if she were here this morning. Don't laugh about this. I asked Laura Lee, I said, Laura Lee, I said, Audrey and I were arguing in the car this afternoon about whether you were here. You were not here this morning, were you? She said, yeah, I sat right over here. I said, I didn't see you. I said, were you standing up? Said, no, I was sitting down. I said, that's why I didn't see you. Now, sometimes you don't see Laura Lee when she's standing up, however. But anyway, bless her heart, Laura Lee is short. And if I walk over and hug her or embrace her, I have to look down at her, you know. But anyway, sweet, sweet person. And she's probably heard all the jokes about shortness, you know, and little girl. Haven't you, Laura Lee? And Laura Lee said, amen. No. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. There are people that are short. They can't help it. I've been at Walmart before. And I'm not tall. And anyway, I've been out at Walmart before, and I've seen little ladies trying to reach up on that top shelf to get something, and they couldn't get it. And I've seen them crawl up on that first step, and I think, oh, this old thing's coming over, you know. And one lady asked me, said, sir, can you please reach that on the shelf? And I said, I absolutely can, and I will. And I reached up there, and I handed it to her. She said, I really appreciate that. You know what? Zacchaeus was honest with himself. He was. He accepted the fact that he was little in stature, that he was short, couldn't help it. That's the way God made him. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, what he's saying, you know, I mean, it's kind of like Jesus in that book of Matthew when he says, you know, all the worrying about in our life is not going to change your stature. It's not. For if a man thinketh him to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. He has a blind spot. How many of you have ever had blind spots? You ever had that? Every one of these bikes are in what we call the driver's blind spot. How many of you have ever been driving along and you almost hit someone right over because they were in your blind spot? There are all kinds of blind spots in the world, but there are a lot of spiritual blind spots. Jesus talked about people whose eyes were blinded by the devil himself. Get a picture of this. If you don't think people have blind spots, how would you like to be that car? Or this one? Blind spots. This trucker had one. He did. And they happen all the time. Or this one. It happened. I don't know what that was. I probably don't want to know. But the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, and the God of this world, little g, devil, the God of this world has blinded their mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 4. That is a blind spot. And the devil is always trying to blind us to what is going on around us in our world. But let me tell you something. Truth will always be truth, regardless of the lack of one's own understanding and his disbelief, or the fact that he is unknowledgeable, or that he is just simply ignorant of the Word of God. Truth is still truth. That brings me to point number 3. That is, Zacchaeus wanted to see the Master clearly. Get the picture? Jesus is going through Jericho, and Zacchaeus is out there with all these other people. They're much taller, and he's way back here. And so he decides, he's very creative. He says, you know what? I will run around them and get ahead of them, and I will get up in that sycamore tree where I can see. You know, Zacchaeus had gone that way many, many times. And it wasn't a real great distance from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was often referred to as the Bloody Way because there were more murders, kind of like Chicago. More murders occurred on that road that led from Jerusalem to Jericho than any other place in the world. That's why it was called the Bloody Way. By the way, there was a Bloody Way over in Jacksonville, Florida today. Did y'all see that? Mass murders again. 11 shot, 5 dead. At last account, there was one loose, one of the shooters. But Zacchaeus had gone that way before. And Zacchaeus knew that there was a sycamore tree ahead and that I can go and get up in that sycamore tree and I can see Jesus as he passes by. He wanted to see the Master. You know, seeing is so important, isn't it? Listen to what Christ says in Matthew 6, 22. He said, "The light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus says we have to rise above the crowd. Now, not everyone does. Not everybody rises above the crowd. As I said a moment ago, consider even the religious institutions of our time. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about different churches and religious groups. They don't consider the will of God. It's what they want many times. It's what they feel or what they think. And King Solomon said, "There is a way that appeareth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death." And not everybody rises above the crowd. And when you think about those religious institutions of our time, our day, it is alarming and it is amazing. In Matthew 13, 13 through 16, Jesus himself said, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, that they see," listen, "seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah of old, the great prophet, which said, 'By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive.'" You ever seen people that read the Bible, they open the Word of God and they say, "Well, I know that's what it says, but I just don't see it." You know what? I don't have any trouble seeing it. I don't. I see what God says. Why is it that you think God's going to give us something we can't see and reason out in our mind and know what is right? It is unrealistic. It is facetious for us to even think in our mind that God has given us his word that we cannot comprehend or understand. Doesn't happen. Listen to what he says. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." That's why they don't see. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and that they should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears that they hear." But number four, rising above the crowd. That's exactly what Zacchaeus did so he could see. You see, it's not enough just to determine and to be honest with yourself and say, "Well, I can't see," and do nothing about it. Zacchaeus decided, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. I am. I'm going to rise above the crowd." He did so he could see. You know, that must have been an awesome occasion. I'm not sure if this was certainly we know it's the artist's conception here, but I guess in my mind I always pictured Zacchaeus in a little higher tree maybe somewhere. But the point being is that this elevated him above the throne of people, and he was able to see. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, I want you to do something. And, you know, Christ must have been moved by this man in some way or another. You know, one of the things that we forget sometimes is that God knows the inner spirit. He is omniscient. That is, he's all-knowing. He knew what Zacchaeus' response would be before he even said, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree." What would have been the normal reaction for a rabbi to go along on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho to say to a man who is up in a tree, "I want you to come down because I'm going to your house"? He might have reasoned in his heart, "Well, who are you to ask me to come down? And who are you to tell me that you're going to go to my house? You didn't even receive an invitation." But Jesus knew his heart. He knew him. And this man, because he came down, climbed to greater heights. And then he was able to see Jesus. He did what other people were not doing. You know what? I'm sure that Zacchaeus was not the only short guy there. By the law of average, there must have been many, many more. But they didn't want to see Jesus that bad. But in Matthew 7, 7 through 8, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him." Now that's what Zacchaeus did. And you know what? Christ says that to us today. Isn't it interesting that in the latter part of that little text there, in that story, in that book of Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10, the Bible says that Christ not only saved him, but he is willing to save all who come to him. The heart, Proverbs 15 and 14, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on foolishness." Zacchaeus rose above the crowd after he saw. He repented, he changed. Romans chapter 12, he confessed his faith, and he confessed his sin publicly. Remember, he says, "If I have taken wrongfully from any man," he said, "I will hereby restore him fourfold." Unlike the rulers of the synagogue in the book of John chapter 12 in verse 42. But this man rose above the crowd. For Jesus says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save them that are lost." And let me say one thing in closing tonight. In order to experience salvation and go to heaven, as we mentioned this morning, we must rise above the crowd. It is the only hope that we have every day. So let me challenge you tonight to do that. If you're not a Christian, let me challenge you to become one. As one who responded and gave her life to Christ this morning in New Testament baptism, maybe there are others tonight that need to make that same commitment. And if you're a child of God and you know that in your heart of hearts, hey, you're not as anxious to see Jesus as Zacchaeus was, and you need to shift your eyes toward heaven and pray that God would forgive you. David has selected our song that we're going to sing as our song of admonition and exhortation. And if we can be of help to you tonight and your commitment to Christ, will you come while we stand and while we sing?